Now, it's The Six with the Jeff Calkins Show.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's The Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You better get ready for a brand new day.
You're on your computer all the time. I actually did a Zoom interview this morning on my computer. Before the show even began, I did a Zoom interview on my computer. Thank heaven I have a working computer. You are never going to use your computer more than you will now. We're Zooming, we're streaming, we're doing all of that, and Cooper Systems can help you. 360-9679. Just give them a call if you're having any issues, or if you want to upgrade, you want to have help setting up your home office now that you know you were still going to be here for appears like a little while longer. 360-9679 is the number. It's Lee and Lauren Cooper. Whether you want to buy a new computer, whether you want to buy a refurbished computer, whether you want to help them, have them help you fix what ails your computer, they can do all of that. It is Cooper Systems. Lee and Lauren Cooper. 360-9679. 360-9679. Jason Smith joins me. Now, Jason is so excited about the a Michael Jordan documentary, which begins, of course, this weekend. We'll talk to him about that momentarily. But it is the day after the big news about Jalen Green, even though we knew that news somewhat earlier in the week. How you processing it, Jason?
Well, I mean, it still hurts, you know? I mean, again, I don't think I'm speaking for a great many Memphis basketball fans, and probably for the staff as well, because now it's, you know, it's what do you do now? And the pickings are slim, much slimmer than what you were hoping to get. I mean, let's be real. You can replace players and Penny and that staff. They're player getters. But what's left out there, what's left on the tree is, you know, there's not much. It's slim pickings. And so, and look, maybe you can shake a few trees, right? And something that's not loose right now comes loose. I mean, that's the definition of being player getters. You find it and there's still time, but it won't be anything like Jalen Green. So it's a blow because it comes at a particularly tough time because again you've watched other players leave and go sign with other programs. There's not much you can do at this point other than looking for grad transfers. You feel like most of those might be out, but other transfers that in that case may have to sit out a year. So anyway, the key now, Jeff, really, and people touched on it yesterday, we did too, is development. Is keeping the guys that you have, right, keeping that roster intact, which I think may require keeping the staff intact, we'll see, and developing what you've got, because I think we all agree that with what you've got, you still should be, you know, you can contend in the AAC. No, you're not better than Houston, but you can contend in the AAC and be a fringe tournament team. I think just we all hope that in year three, you know, that this would be much further along. Jalen Green represented a big part of that.
Well, what you just said raised alarms in my mind, which is keeping this team together, which could require keeping the staff together, because there is a scenario under which, obviously, Mike Miller has been critical to the recruitments both of Greg Brown and Jalen Green. And I'm literally just spitballing here, but you can imagine, and we understand that he's always been, he has an opportunities in the NBA and always has. Mm-hmm. You can have a scenario where Mike Miller says, you know what, I thought I was going to come back and coach Jalen Green and or Greg Brown, certainly Jalen Green, maybe Greg Brown in addition to that. We were going to have a great year. I was going to be able to parlay. A, I have an obligation to them because I helped bring them here. B, we're going to rock it at Memphis, and I can parlay that into a head coaching job at a pretty darn good place. It's you can imagine a scenario where Mike says, well, I just put 2 years into this. Screw this. I think I'm going to go to the NBA now. If that happens, listen, we're sort of just coping with the didn't get Jalen Green scenario. Do we know that Boogie and Lester, who are Mike guys, for example, those are the two who spring to mind, do we know that they are not, that they are bound and determined to be at Memphis for next year?
I think when we assumed, listen, it was written about by Pete Thamel, that Mike Miller might be out of here right after the season, right? You know, Thamel went as far as saying he's openly lobbying for jobs, that we thought if that happened, Boogie, guys like Boogie and Lester, who Mike had strong ties to, let's be real, like he started those relationships. Yes, Penny Hardaway finishes them, closes the deal. That's what a head coach does. But Mike had those relationships to begin with, and I think a lot of us assumed, and that's why we were watching Lester's Instagram after the season and trying to figure out what does he mean by this. I think assuming that those guys might be transfer candidates, particularly if Mike left. This is delicate. I think if Mike goes to the NBA, and listen, why would he? To your point, man, look what went down with James Wiseman. How a guy like Mike Miller, who's made $100 million, been in the NBA, might say, man, look, yeah, I mean, this NCAA thing is crazy. And then you get to this point where you think you got Jalen Green, and all of a sudden the G League, Strickland, Silver, Abdul Rahim put together this offer, man, that nobody can beat in college basketball, maybe other than a Krzyzewski or we'll see. Maybe Shaka beats it out, but I doubt Greg Brown gets the offer that Jalen gets. We'll see. People think Jalen's going to be number one pick in the draft. We'll see. But all that said, I go back to Mike. If you want to recruit those high-level guys, I touched on this with Jeffrey yesterday and Giannato. You want to recruit high-level guys. That's what he came here to do. And if you're telling him now, man, I can't even go out and get a top 10 guy because the G League's going to swoop in and offer some huge. Does that take some of some of the wind out of your sails in terms of wanting to do this, to your point? If you can, is it still worth it to you? For Penny, of course, it's Memphis. It's getting a program that he, played for back to greatness. Yeah, this sucks. What the NCAA is doing, this timing of all this, man, what's going down is all, but I'm going to stick through it. Mike is a guy who's made $100 million. Of course he wants to help Memphis get back to greatness, but is this still worth it to him when he probably feels like, my gosh, every time I look around, they're dropping something on me. And I imagine Penny feels the same way. But is it still worth it for Mike? So that's how I get back to how you can lose him. That said, to an NBA job, something like that, where Mike just says, you know what, this ain't worth it. Like all the grinding we do, we can't even have the team we want out there. And so does he – and here's the point. If Mike went to another NBA job, forget what Samuel said months ago, whatever, college job, NBA job, because those look dried up right now. If he went to an NBA job, don't you think he would – and again, Penny's got relationships with Boogie and Lester, but don't you think Mike would say, hey, man, stay at Memphis?
Well, that's the thing. At this point, their roles are clear. They're right. Going to be relied on.
You've got the time, the minutes. You're not – Jalen Green's not coming in. So you guys – I mean, I know you probably enjoyed the thought of playing with him, but now it's on you guys.
I would just stay.
So seems more likely that those guys stay, particularly if Mike leaves for the NBA. Like, that's the – I mean, that just feels like the way to go, And so it may play out that way. Either way, I go back to the point I was making. That's development of your own guys. And who knows, even at their best, we'll see. Hope, maybe it's a number two team in the AAC. Maybe it's something that can compete with Houston. We'll see. Gary's got them number five in the country. Houston's going to be really good. But you've got the makings of a solid team. Got to add some bigs, though. My goodness, you got to shore that up.
Isn't the other challenge that if the whole pitch has been we're going to get these kids who are just laser-focused on the NBA – not necessarily on the college experience, but laser focused on the NBA. It's particularly susceptible to the pitch from the G League. Are they going to have to reevaluate and change the way they recruit going forward? We expected this to be a parade of top 10 type of dudes to want to be working with Penny and Mike and that staff. Are they going to have to reevaluate everything over there?
I think so. What you have to do, and the Memphis coach has always had to do this. Now, some have the ability to go out nationally and recruit. We've seen it. John was the best, but Josh did it for a little while, got some good guys. And we thought Penny and the staff going to do it for a while where you've got the best of both worlds. Get the best Memphis kids that you need, right, and go get the high-level national talent. Well, with this, if they're going to cut off the highest-level national talent, I still think Penny's going to be able to pick off a few, whether he's got, whoever he's got on that staff, I still think he's got that kind of pull. Again, top 10 guys, no, because I think the G League in those situations is gonna provide an offer these kids can turn down if they want to. And so for Penny, here's the deal: you got to lock Memphis back up. And let's be real, in terms of the gate, the wall, whatever you want to call it about Memphis, they've allowed it. Right? Memphis has allowed it to open up. It's not because people were fighting to get in here. I mean, you lost Chris Moore. You can make a case that that's one you won and you lost out of here. But a Matthew Morrell, you let walk out. And so my point about you kind of let the gate get open there. Well, the point to your point now, you've got to lock that thing back up to where what does that look like? Well, that may look like going to a Jonathan Lawson saying, we weren't on you for a while. We've got to get on you now. You're a priority for us for 2021. because, again, you're already behind on the Kennedy Chandlers, the what it feels like right now, Musa Cisse, without people saying LSU is the leader. We'll see if he's even 2021. He's probably going to be 2020. But it feels like you're already a little bit behind. And, again, Penny, especially locally, can catch up. But you're behind a little bit locally for 2021. You got to get that back, and you got to lock it up. And that's the way back, certainly, with, you know, greatness possibly, if you can do that and then pick off a few nationally. That's the way back to getting this thing top 25 where we all expected it would be when Penny was hired, you know,
right.
Eventually.
So Jordan, the Jordan documentary starts this weekend, Sunday. And one of the elements of intrigue here is that we'd always heard of the ferocious Jordan who would belittle and demean his players he practiced with or whatever in the way that he quote unquote led and motivated, like that Jordan was a fierce dude, and we're going to see it now. And he seems to have some reservations or some trepidation about it too. It's one reason why he didn't do this. He didn't release this for the longest time. As a Jordan guy, is there anything that could happen in this thing that would change your opinion of Michael Jordan?
I wonder if it's the gambling for Mike. You know, because here's the thing. Like, most of us know, and again, if you didn't see Mike, no. But most of us know, we didn't have, you know, the social media age. We didn't see it all. But most of us know he would slap Steve Kerr in practice. You know what I mean? Like, we've read those stories. So in terms of his fear about being a bad guy, like with teammates, we know that dude pushed so hard. Some of those folks didn't want to play with him. It's sort of like Kobe. Whereas if some folks can't take it, but that's part of him pushing. I mean, that's part of Michael's story, is him pushing you to a level you didn't even think yet. I mean, Scotty wouldn't have been the player he became, you know, without Michael Jordan pushing him. And anyway, forget that point. But yeah, with Michael, I see they're on the plane. I've seen a couple shots. And again, this is just me wondering if some of that, because that's the part, right, that was always rumored. It got a little, you know, it got really, you know, it started to boil there for a minute. Is Michael Jordan really got a problem gambling? But we never really saw it, right? We never, and you see him on the plane, they're playing cards, and I just wonder if that part, because he would bet on everything from all the stories you hear, and I just wonder if it's that part of him that he's worried about. People are going to think I'm a bad guy because I put money on everything I do, that kind of thing, because we already knew. In terms of being, you know, you could be construed as a bad teammate. Yeah, I mean, whatever. He's a guy that could push the mess out of you, get in fights with you. But it was all, I mean, we already knew that about him. So I just wonder if it's that side of him that we always heard about, read about a little bit, but, you know, it's kind of rumored, but we don't know to what extent. I wonder if more of that comes out in this. Because you did see the shots of him on a plane looking like they're playing cards. I wonder if the money's on the, you know, we'll see.
Thank you, Jason. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Jason Smith, of course, 11 to 2.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show. Presented by the Wingate only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We're back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. This afternoon, Cole Anthony, North Carolina point guard, declared for the NBA draft. No surprise there, certainly, though. His stock has taken a pretty good hit. Over at ESPN.com, their most recent mock draft, Jace Movie, Doovy Woovy, he is going 13th.
Dang!
Yeah, buddy.
They had high hopes, much higher than 13. Hopes. He and his father, Greg. That is quite the drop.
I think that year at North Carolina, you know, I don't think it was, you know what I mean. I don't think it rubbed people the right way. Well, some of it was injury, sure. But anyway, yeah. So he declared for the NBA draft earlier today. I believe.
When is Precious's day?
I was going to say, I think he is the only guy in the lottery right now
that
who has not declared. Sure. Yeah, who has not declared his intention. Does that mean he's coming back, Jason?
Is he going to pull a Marcus Smart, John?
No.
Right.
No, he's not.
It's too much money.
Yeah, I mean, he's going. I mean, there's no, I hope people are not.
Man worked his way back up from 19 to 8.
I hope people are not holding out hope.
Isn't this the better draft to go in the next year? Like they've said, it's pretty thin. If you're up to eight in it, you better go now.
How much better do you really expect to get? You know?
Boy, wouldn't he look good, though? He would solve everything, all of the problems. Not even going to think about it, though, because it's a pipe dream is what it is.
You wouldn't do it, and you wouldn't tell your son to do it, you know?
No, and I don't think most college coaches can responsibly say do it anymore. I realize, you know, again, Marcus Smart was a case where people were saying, man, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But it worked out for him, but it's hurt some others. So, again, you've worked your way back up. Gavoni had you 19 in February. Now he's got you 8. Why would you not capitalize on that?
Mm-hmm.
And John gave you the slots. Well, how much was it?
It was like $22 million.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to go.
In terms of if you win around number 8, so give me a break. This is a no-brainer.
By the way,
just kind of curious that the day hadn't come yet. He hadn't announced.
Remember the Memphis Grizzlies had to convey their pick or may not have conveyed their pick this season. They ultimately, it looks like they will convey that pick.
Of course they will. Looks like it.
Because of the season ending. And you know, if we get one, it'll probably be playoffs only. But the Celtics are drafting a guy named Devin Vassell. Or Devin Vassell, who's a Florida State guard/forward. So there you go. You never heard of that dude. So there you go. It's not going to be like one of those things where you look up and you're just like, damn, we didn't get the chance to draft Devin Vassell. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think in that sense, it'll be so much easier to stomach everything. You know.
Let me since we're on NBA real fast, talking about draft. This stat I had for rundown, of course, you only gave me 4 minutes for rundown, as you usually do, so I ate up all of it with your own story. Did you realize this about the Bulls? We talked about the Last Dance coming on this weekend. It's going to premiere on Sunday. There's a stat that not even I realized. Over the course of 2 seasons, now the Last Dance, much of it will focus on the 97-98 Bulls team, the last run of that, you know, 6 and 8 years they won. But over the stat from ESPN Stats and Info right here that I read over the week, over the course of 2 seasons, I want to see if you realize this, John, you're talking about dominance, from November 1995 to June 1997, the Bulls were favored in 185 consecutive games. Did you see this? You're nodding like you did see this stat. I was hoping you hadn't seen it because I wanted to, the eye-openers is second place. 185 consecutive games, your favorites. The longest such streak in ESPN Stats and Information's odds database that goes back to 1990. And as they point out, it's not close. We've seen dominance recently in the form of the Golden State Warriors. They own the second longest streak of being favored in consecutive games. Just throw a number out of what you think Golden State's might be. I'll give you it was from March 2017 to March 2018, so they held it for about a calendar year there. How many games do you think it is? Bulls streak, 185 games. We said went over 2 seasons. I'm giving you Golden State's there. I heard it with giving you the dates, but it's not even close to the 185.
185 is the record.
Yes. The next best is...
I would say the way you're making it sound like it's a huge gap.
It is. I just told you it's not even close.
75.
You're close. It's 89. And the dates really I gave you too much when I told you how long Golden State's went on, which is about, you know, Bulls went for 2 years at 185. Golden State's went for one essentially calendar year, 89 straight games. The Bulls streak was twice as long. Imagine that. That's what I'm talking about with this, the pressure they had on them.
Yeah.
To do this over and over again, and then coming through each time that they got to the finals, it's
That's
tremendous
crazy.
Because you'll remember because this happened just Steve Kerr telling you guys when they were, you know, winning that behind the scenes it ain't as pretty as it looks when
Absolutely.
We're winning titles.
Absolutely,
and if it's not wasn't pretty for them, you saw Draymond and all that, and imagine the fights there. Imagine what it looked like for the Bulls winning 6 and 8 with a competitive force in the room like a Michael Jordan, you know, making a man out of Scottie Pippen, slapping Steve Kerr, all to get to him up to a level that he, you know, of greatness to, let's be real, to in an effort to match his, because he just wouldn't, much like Kobe emulating him, he just wouldn't be around anything short of that. It was all about titles. And so to me, that part is amazing, how they lasted through the pressure, right, of being the favorite, the way they just sucked that up and ate it. The other part was the breakthrough. Heard them talking about this morning on Get Up. When they finally beat the Pistons, right, that it was... You know, it was for so long, it was Mike trying to do things on his own, you know, as the best player in basketball. Can I get them over the hump? It wasn't until he decided, you know what, I got to help make Scotty a star. He's got it in him, but I got to help pull it out. It wasn't until he decided, you know, Horace Grant's an equal in terms of what he's got to contribute to this team that, you know, it was no longer the Jordanaires. It became an actual squad and him treating it that way. Him taking first quarters off to get everybody else involved and then him coming through the fourth that they finally figured out, you know, the way to get through, to get over the hump, to get past those Pistons. That was huge. Because that allowed for the next, you know, 6 out of 8 for you to do what you did. They had to break through, and the Pistons were the perfect test. They were, because you were not just gonna, you know, you were not just gonna lazily walk through them. You're gonna have to be men to beat the bad boys, and that's what they produced.
Yep.
In those games they gave the Bulls, and it led to, you know, it led to some what I've always thought would have been 8-8. If Michael hadn't retired for a minute and gone to baseball.
I think it's going to be a great documentary. I mean, I think we're going to learn some things. I think even you are going to learn some things that you probably didn't think you knew about
Michael
Jordan.
I didn't know
Phil
had called it The Last Dance. I didn't know that part. You know, that was Phil's title for the season. And so just in the trailers alone, I've learned something. So absolutely, I'm looking forward to it. And like we said with Jason Hare, the director we had on yesterday of the documentary, really looking forward to just seeing how my, you know, seeing – couple of generations now, but including my own son, seeing how he reacts to seeing a dude who was pretty awesome, man. His dad would tell you even better than LeBron. I saw Marcus Spears going to town, though, this morning about how LeBron's better. I just can't see how you can get emotional that LeBron's better. I can see getting emotional that Mike's better than that, but that emotional that LeBron's better? That get a little strong. That's your camp, right?
I think he's...
Maybe you don't get so emotional, but you're definitely in that... That whole he's the goat.
There's very few things I get emotional about, you know, when it comes to sports. That's certainly not going to be one of them, although I do think that Michael Jordan is the LeBron James is the most physically, you know, dominant player that we've ever seen.
How that's not spelled is G-O-A-T, what you just said. Most physically dominant player the game's ever seen. That's not GOAT.
Man, I'm not going to sit here and argue with your childhood, man. You know?
Don't do this. You know it ain't the day for it. You didn't come here on
LeBron,
a Friday.
Don't
go here with me.
Because I think LeBron is one of the smartest, one of the most physically, you know, the most physically dominant player that we've ever seen. But he doesn't have, you know, the championships and things like that. So,
you know how many, and I will give LeBron a little bit of credit for this, but you know how many games, heard this morning too, because everybody's talking about this documentary. How many regular season games Michael Jordan played in 97, 98?
How many?
82.
Yeah, I know. Here you go.
Oh!
Different time, bro. It's like smoking cigarettes, you know? Everybody smoked cigarettes back in the day, too. They didn't know. Now we know about the medical benefits from, you know, load management and things like that. You know, so it's all just about information, man.
LeBron's one of the guys that usually, you know, will play typically.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a sitter always, but he has before anyway. You can't hold that against him. And I will say that Cleveland team that he won the title with, they weren't all that, you know, there wasn't much on that squad. So don't get me wrong. I'm not diminishing LeBron and saying that that Jordan's the greatest.
By the way, today is I believe the 50th anniversary of the splashdown of Apollo 13.
Thank you for that.
That was a hell of, have you not seen that movie? I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine being in space?
Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, Tom Hanks and there's some other guys in that movie who were like, I'm forgetting their names right now, but some other guys in that movie that were accomplished as well. But I believe they landed in the Pacific. And, I mean, I can't even imagine that, bro. That's crazy. You probably think you're dead, you know? You probably think you're going to die once that explosion happens. And these folks, they were in, I read about this, on their way back after they slingshot right around the moon. They were in there. They had to basically conserve all the power. They were in 3 degree conditions. Like it was 3 degrees in that shuttle on the way back down to Earth.
Man, you're like a Charles Fauci Fishman.
Yeah, I've seen the movie. I have it on DVD, as a matter of fact, on Blu-ray remastered. I can tell you've never seen it. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that you haven't. Honestly, like that's.
I just told you Tom Hanks was in it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but you know who was in it, but you don't remember the movie. I mean, this is the white person's version of Coming to America, you know?
Is that true?
It's like, how have you not seen Apollo 13?
Dude, I told you I've seen it. It just doesn't draw the emotion out of me that it does you, clearly.
Apollo 13 was a fantastic movie. It was a fantastic mission. It was a miracle. It was an absolute miracle that those men made it back down to Earth.
We're just talking about, we're comparing movies here, all right? Apollo 13 movie, instant classic, yeah. Story itself, yes. Legendary.
Yeah, it was
Coming
well done.
To America, instant classic, yes. Okay?
Apollo 13 had...
Two different things
Apollo
there.
Apollo 13 had Kevin Bacon, Gary Sinise, Bill Paxton.
When Sinise was still relevant.
Yes, and Tom Hanks. I mean, let's look at the reception for
Lieutenant
this.
Lieutenant Dan is what I call him.
A 95% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Let's see Coming to America's approval rating.
It's going to be lower, I promise you.
It's so strange that you put those two together in the same sentence.
Somebody had to do it.
But Apollo 13, the white man's coming to America. I've never heard such a thing.
67%.
Oh, that's too, you know, they, again. They,
you know, this is a case of you remembering the movie to be better than it actually is. That's the deal. Apollo 13, it was a masterful performance from Tom Hanks for sure.
Hanks was great. I remember that about it.
For sure. So what I want you to do tonight is when you're cutting that cord, I want you to put on Apollo 13. You probably find it on demand somewhere, right? And I want you to watch it, and I want you to remember. I want you to get swept up in the American ingenuity and the resolve of those men on their way back down to Earth, because a lot of other men, lesser men, would have given up. They would have tapped out, man. They couldn't even take a piss, Jason. One of the astronauts had a severe UTI when he got back to Earth.
Fool, I'll be watching Hidden Figures. Okay?
Okay, man. All right.
Which was a fantastic movie.
It was.
Yeah. Right. I don't hear you talking and waxing poetic about that.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show, Monday at 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN.